Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles.
Time on my hand since you've been away, boy. I ain't got no plans, no, 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 no.
Saban Jones of Standby in Detroit puts together such amazing playlists and creates such a vibe that she has been told on more than one occasion that she should be a DJ. I would say that she is, because if she's already putting all that stuff together, you know, creating a vibe, playing the music, you're a DJ. So we're going to talk about her growing up with music all around her, going to concerts when she was four, and how she wound up behind a bar in one of America's greatest cities, Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, I'm going to just say this. My husband's from Detroit. I think every other shirt he wears says Detroit. He hasn't lived there.
Says Detroit.
He hasn't lived there since like 1992, and he doesn't ever want to move back there because he moved out here to be like a skater guy. But all he does is talk about
Detroit.
And I'm just like, he's all, oh, it's cold.
It's the best.
This, yeah. But all his shirts, always Detroit this, Detroit that. And I see you, I'm like, and rocking
the pride.
Know, totally representing for Detroit.
The pride. The pride is always there. Yeah. We're very proud of our city.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's gone through a lot. Over the course of its history, in the last like 10, 15 years, it's gone through a lot. So introduce yourself and tell me where you work.
My name is Saban Jones. I am a bartender at Standby in Detroit, Michigan.
How long has Standby been around?
Standby's been around since 2016, 2017, 2016, and 2017.
And how long have you been a part of Standby?
I've been there for my 2-year anniversary was in June.
Nice. Well, when did you get started in the whole bartending thing?
So I started bartending. Well, I started in like hospitality in general in, what was that, 2015 or so? 2015, 2016. And I literally just like, I was struggling so hard to find a job, and I had been unemployed for a really long time, and one of my good friends, he was just moving back to Detroit from DC, and he had been bartending out there for years, and he hit up one of his old managers and was like, hey, do you have any leads? I'm just looking for something, you know, to get on my feet. And so he was about to start serving at this new restaurant that was just about to open, and he's like, we need a host, just come, they're paying this much, it'll be easy, you'll love it, it'll just get you through until you find something else. And I'm like, all right, cool. Ended up starting, like, it was super easy hosting. I feel like hosting's like either you're good at it or you're not.
Yeah,
it was pretty easy. And then I had one of those managers that like secretly wanted everyone to be cross-trained, but was like really kind of like slick about it. And he was like, I mean, you're always helping out on the floor. Like, why don't you just maybe like start serving? Like, he's like, it's way better money. I think you'd be really good at it. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll give it a try. And then I was like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like, this is great. The money's great. Like, this is fun. This is cool. And then I started, getting more interested in the drinks and the cocktail side of things. And he was like, have you thought about getting behind the bar? Would you want to get behind the bar too? And I was like, I mean, yeah, sure. And then that was it. Like, after that, I was like, oh, I'm never going anywhere else in the restaurant. I want to stay behind the bar.
Why?
Like, this is where I belong.
Like, what
And
was it?
everybody said the same thing too. I don't know. It just fit. Like, I don't know if it was just my personality or just like maybe like the fact that I already like I'm the type I like to cook. I'm like super into like flavors. Like, I'm super into talking about food and drink anyway, like outside of like the business. And I think it just kind of naturally like drew me in. And just like starting to like think about menu creation and like writing cocktails and like the creative side of it was the probably the one of the more interesting parts of it for me, because I was like, oh, I can actually like make something and like give it to people. Like, you can't do that when you're serving.
I always tell people that
So
was what drew me in
I
with
think that was the big
cocktails.
difference for me.
Yeah, that's what drew me in with cocktails was just this
Yeah.
idea that they're like little desserts or little meals, or
Yeah.
to see them in that way is like a culinary creation instead of just shots to get drunk or something. And that's just so much more
Exactly.
interesting. So when you first started behind the bar there, I'm assuming you didn't know tons about spirits and all of that. You knew the basic, like you want a
No.
rum coke, you want this. So what was your journey there? Like, what did you start learning about first?
So they were already like on the craft cocktail wave, like from the beginning. So like a lot of my like beginning knowledge started a lot with prep. So I would just help with prep a lot. And that got me like to understand more about like what the different layers to cocktails are, and like how the sugar plays with the spirit, which plays with the citrus, which, and then you start bringing in bitters, you start doing infusions, tea syrups. I remember tea syrups were really hot back then. So we had like a whole menu that had all these different kinds of tea syrups in it. And I would remember I would have to come in like an hour or two earlier before a shift and like make all these syrups. And like, I think starting off with that and like getting my hands dirty is, I think, what allowed me to like have a lot more room for the spirit knowledge, and that in doing tastings. Like that was one of, honestly, that was one of the best managers I've ever had, like working there, because he was so serious about us being involved at like every level. And so he would be like, oh, I'm gonna do this tasting, I want you guys there, like I want you to come to the tasting, and let's do
That's
this together.
amazing.
He was one of those people who, if we came across like a random bottle or something that we wanted to play with or we thought was interesting, he would order it for us. Like, he was just like, yeah, just like
Open to
a great guy, a great
exploring, like with
manager,
you
just like,
guys.
yeah, and just letting us be creative and just, letting us kind of like run with it.
Do you remember anything from those days that was really exciting, like a spirit that you discovered or some random ingredient that you were like, whoa, this is something I'm going to use later? I
I
mean,
think
it's
the most
great.
exciting thing that I did while I was there actually was I did my first like one night only spot. I did like a little pop-up. There's this bar called Willis Show Bar, and it's like a kind of like a dinner and a show kind of a bar. So it's like, it's dark, it's got all these big leather booths. There's a stage like right in the middle, and there's two bars on either side of it that like wrap the room. And so what they would do is they would get a bartender from another bar, you would come up with three cocktails, their bartender would come up with three cocktails, and then you would each be on one end of the bar for the night. And usually it was sponsored by like a spirit. So that was my first time working with a brand. That was my first time coming up with like my own original cocktails that weren't like just for menu, like they were for me. And that was my first time working at a bar that wasn't the bar that I learned how to be a bartender
Oh
at
my
too.
God,
So
no
like it was
pressure, huh?
exciting in so many ways. It was so much fun. It
Yeah.
was I had so much fun. And I just remember like all my friends coming out, like everybody that I told about it came. And I remember my side of the room being like super
Super
crowded
packed,
and like
yes.
his side being like kind of, just kind of regular. And I just like it gave me a lot of confidence. It was like a
Yeah.
really, really big confidence boost
That's
for me as a
amazing.
bartender.
Do you remember what the drinks were that you came up with that night?
I remember there was this one, it was a gin-based cocktail, and it was like one of, I feel like, my first more well-rounded drinks that I ever made. And I remember it was, I think it was grapefruit, gin, Amaro Nonino, and I think I did some sort of like thyme and rosemary syrup or something like that.
Sounds yummy.
But it was just like it was genuinely good. And the gin that I ended up using was called Peacemaker Gin. So I just named the drink the Peacemaker. And it
It
was like it
totally worked.
that's one thing I'm really bad at. I'm really bad at naming cocktails.
You know, well, I always ask people, and I might as well like poke my head in now and ask. I always ask people if they've ever named any cocktails after like song lyrics or song titles or artists or anything like that. Oh,
Oh,
you
all the
good.
time.
Okay. I mean, some people are like, oh, it's so easy to default to that.
One of my favorite low-key tips that one of my like old coworkers gave me was to go look up nail polish colors because they always have like wacky names. And
That's actually
I've
so
actually
true.
named a couple. Yeah, I've named a
Do
couple after like
you remember
nail polish colors.
any of the song ones? Do you remember any of those from over the years?
I had a drink on the menu. Well, I don't think it ended up being that name, but that this is what I named it. I named it the Great Golden Baby because
Ooh.
it was like a bright gold yellow drink. I was just like always want if I can name a drink after a Circa Survive song, I
So after you had
will.
your really successful pop-up, because it sounds like it just then you were like, I can take this on the road. I mean, you must have had those thoughts because it was your first time out of home. So how long did you stay at the place where you learned?
So I will say, not too long after that, that place kind of started to like take a nosedive a little bit. The ownership started getting really involved with things. People started quitting left and right.
Yeah, it
It just was one
happens.
of those things. You could see it, like the ship going down,
Yeah.
and you're like, okay, I gotta get out of here before it goes down completely. So, I ended up getting a job at this little Chinese spot actually called the Peterborough, which had a really beautiful 20-seat rail,
Wow.
like a circular rail, and this really tall bar, like with all the like big tall metal bar in the center with all our spirits, with like a ladder. You got to climb the ladder
Oh,
to
wow,
like get to the
cool.
top. One of the coolest bars I've ever seen. And they served like really good scratch Chinese food, and they had a great program because they're part of a larger restacking. And so it was a lot easier to, it was another place that I knew that I would be able to go and be creative and learn a lot. Because that was always my goal, like going to the next spot is like, okay, what can I learn here that I didn't learn at the last spot? So I got a lot of really good education on like classics, just like get more knowledge on like house builds, like the difference between like, this is a Manhattan versus this is our Manhattan, being held to like a certain standard in a lot of ways. And then even more getting even more involved in the prep side of things because we literally did all our own prep there too. So it was just four or five of us at any given time. And
Wow.
we would be literally like in the middle of service making ginger syrup and like just getting it done.
So after you did that, I mean, now it's almost 10 years since you've been in the biz. And how have things changed for you? Because, you know, you're at this, what I read anyway, is a pretty nice bar these days. The Standby, like, got one of those reputations. So So what?
Yeah, a little
What's it
bit.
like being there? Like now you're in the swanky place.
So it's really great because it went from like me being at that last spot that I was just talking about, the Chinese spot, to my last day there was the day before they shut everything down for the pandemic.
Oh.
That was the last day I ever worked there. And like that was at a point in my career where I felt like I was really starting to like find my footing. I was really starting to like kind of like see the vision, I guess, sort of like, you know, what I wanted to do for the next few years and how I was going to do it. And I think when everything shut down, it kind of like it was discouraging.
Yeah,
It
I'm
was really
sure.
discouraging. And it was really like, is that will the business ever be the same too? Because when you think about what we do and how we do it, like will anything like will it be worth going back to when I do go back? Is it worth the risk to my health? Like it was all these questions that I'm like, do I need to pivot now? Do I need to go back to school? Like I'm asking myself all these different questions. And then I remember I was looking for, because I was working at a, I had a couple different like little jobs during the pandemic. And I was remember I was like I gotten vaccinated and I was like, okay, I've got my shot now. I'm gonna start looking and see who's hiring, like, you know, who's reopening, who's doing it the right way, who's doing it safely, kind of that thing. And I saw Standby had a post up for a bar back, a bar back training, eventually bartender. And Standby is one of those places where people don't leave. Like people don't leave there. Like people stay there for a really long time. And it was a place that I kind of always wanted to work. And I was hoping that I would hear something rumbling at some point where I could like squeeze my way in there. And I was just like, I'm just gonna take a chance. I'm just gonna apply. And I had my interview and I think I started like the next week. And I was working there and another, I was working there and I was working at this little seafood restaurant for about maybe like 3 or 4 months. And then one of the bartenders ended up leaving for another opportunity, one of their only full-timers. And I just,
You're
suddenly
like,
I was a
whoop.
bartender. Suddenly I was a bartender. It was
Amazing.
crazy. I mean, when I first started there, Joe, our owner, was bartending because they didn't have any staff anymore from the pandemic. And I had one of them pull me aside at one point and be like, no, none of us have really ever had this opportunity. And so he's like, you need to soak up everything you can soak up. You need to listen to everything that he says. You need to watch everything he does because he, first of all, hasn't been behind the stick probably in a while, 5 years. And look at him. It's like he never left. My
Muscle
first real
memory.
experience working there was bar backing for the owner, for the owner.
Well, at least you know your training was
Yeah.
like top-notch, you know, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know that I'm working for somebody who knows what they're doing and what they're talking about, you know. This
So
is
what's
really
your role there
nice.
now? So you've been there for a couple of years and
I mean, I am the, I guess that everyone would call me like the service bartender because I am I'm the speed demon. So I mean, we have a 40 to 50 cocktail menu at any given time, and
Oh
that's a
my
lot of
God.
drinks.
That's huge.
Yes, our
Oh
menu
my
is
God.
huge. Our menu is huge.
That is
It's a huge
scary.
undertaking. It
Oh.
it's
I'm
wild.
like
Like
having an
I
anxiety attack
remember.
for you.
I know.
You like about the music side of things. We got to talk about music as well. Because you wrote me that you should be a DJ. Somebody should be training you to go out there and do DJ. And you're in Detroit, which is like the music city, you know. So
Exactly.
tell me your music stuff. Like you can go all the way back if you
So
want to.
I guess that would be to like answer the last question too. That would probably be the second part of the question is, I'm the speed demon, but I'm also the in-house DJ, music curator,
Yep.
vibe curator.
Yep, that's right, which is
I'm
super
the one that, and
important.
even like down to the lights, even down to the lights, I'm usually
Ooh.
the person that's like adjusting the lights throughout the night. Like,
Cool.
I'm very serious about like making sure the vibe is right
There's a
at all
mood.
times.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
But I
what
think my
would
actual
you
like love for music,
Yes.
yeah, no, my actual love for music though, I think that definitely came from my dad. My dad's a huge music head, listens to everything under the sun that you could possibly think of. I mean, he was putting like headphones on my mom's belly when she was pregnant with me. Like that, my dad is a music guy. He plays guitar. Like that's his favorite thing in the world. And I think he definitely passed that on to me for sure.
Yeah. Did he try to get you to play an instrument when you were young?
He did. He put me in piano lessons for a while, but the teacher was like not the nicest lady. So I didn't
Oh.
stick with that for too long, unfortunately. And I mean, I played like clarinet in like band, but I
You're
don't know. And
like,
he
I'll
did
just
try to
listen to
get me
music,
to.
Dad. I'll just listen.
Exactly. He did try to get me to play guitar one time. He's like, "Well, you'd have to cut your nails." And I was like, absolutely not.
So, do you remember like one of the first artists that you were obsessed with when you were a kid? Because obviously there was music around you all the time.
Yeah, I do. I do actually. So, well, fun fact, my first concert that I ever went to, I think I was maybe like 4 years old.
Oh my God.
I still have a faint memory of it too. I think I was like
Wow.
4 or 5 years old, and my dad loves Pat Metheny. He's like a jazz guitarist.
Yeah, I know who
So
he
I went
is.
to see Pat Metheny group. We went to see Pat
Wow.
Metheny group, and like it was probably like 95, maybe like 94, 95, somewhere in there.
I
At
guess it's probably
there's
okay to take
this
a
place.
kid too, but I wonder if people
Yeah,
would
we
be
sat on
getting.
the lawn.
Okay, so they're just drinking
Yeah,
wine
so it's an
then at that
outdoor.
kind
It
of
was like an
show.
outdoor,
I
yeah,
was
like an
like, are people
outdoor
getting
venue.
stoned and you're like four and you're there?
Probably. They probably were. I don't know. Sure. I was just there for the tunes, man. He said I was enthralled the whole time, too. He said I was super into it the whole time.
That's
Like,
so cool.
yeah. So I think
So then
that's
what?
probably like my earliest musical memory of like music that I liked,
Yeah.
I guess, but like my own personal first artist that I probably became like kind of obsessed with, I think it was Mary J. Blige. I think it was Mary J. Blige.
That's
I
a good
remember
one.
me and my god sister used to sing "I'm Going Down" like over and
Oh,
over again. We would just play the song and we would sing it over and over. I would say like her and probably the Spice Girls. Those are like my two earliest memories of like being obsessed.
those are awesome memories. So good. So now, and as you've gotten older, when you got to high school, you said you were like, you got a little emo, it sounds like.
Oh my God, who didn't? I was
It
absolutely in love. Well, for me, at that point, I guess it was the
was the
early
2000s.
aughts.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
Two,
you got the
yeah, I would say
zeros.
like 2003, 2004. I was a huge Fall Out Boy fan. I was in love with Panic at the Disco, My Chemical Romance.
That's
Oh
the one
yeah,
for me, is
all
My
of them.
Chemical Romance. It's always
Yeah.
My Chemical Romance because I grew up in the 80s, so the goth stuff was all big, and to me
Yeah.
that was the same thing, just rocking harder. So you went Mary J. Blige to Fall Out Boy. But all of that can live together. That's the beautiful thing about music. So did you when you were like in high school and all that stuff, were you going out to a lot of shows and everything?
My first concert that I went to by myself was Panic at the Disco.
Nice. That was probably a
Yeah, I
really
went with
fun
one of my
show.
classmates. It was super fun. It was like them and like three of their label mates. And I was like obsessed with everybody on that label at that time. So I was just like super excited to be there. I met one of the bands. They like signed one of my CDs. I was
Nice.
so excited. It was
Well,
great. It was so much fun.
how about now? As you've gotten a little older, now you're creating vibes, so it's a little different, but I think for me anyway, I came from a family that loved music too. So I know so much about so many different genres just because it was always around. It sounds like your house was the same way.
Same,
So,
exactly the same, yeah.
right? And that's why you should DJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you're kind of DJing right now. So what do you take into consideration when you're putting together your playlist for the bar and everything?
So a lot of time I really do just rely on like my daily playlists on Spotify. So I'll usually like load those up and then I'll just like tweak them and play around with them. And I kind of just try to start, I always try to start off kind of mellow and then just see like what the crowd is like for that night. 'Cause sometimes it'll be like all two tops and everybody's on a date. So I'm just gonna steer in, in the romantic direction. I'm gonna play like, some nice, like chill, maybe like some jazzy stuff to start, then move into like some R&B type stuff, and just kind of keep it kind of sexy all night. And then, see how late night goes, see if I need to like turn it up a little bit or if I can keep that vibe going. On the weekends, on Friday and Saturday night, we after dinner service is over, it's like turn up time. So we have like, I have like a specific turn up playlist with like all rap and trap and just like ass shaking music. Just like, yeah. And we turn off all the lights and we turn the music all the way up and we just
Nice.
get crazy for
Just
the
let me
last like
party.
3 hours of service. I mean, we're back there dancing too. We're back there singing, having a
That's
good time
awesome.
too. It's really fun.
So
Yeah.
have you found a track that you feel like anytime you play it, it's gonna like make the bar go off? Do you have those yet?
Honestly, it's usually older songs that do that. It's usually those songs where like everyone from every generation knows it. So like it was my coworker's birthday the other day and he was like, "Can we please just do like a 90s R&B vibe today?" And I was like, "Yeah, oh my God, you do not have to ask me twice." And I like found a really good 90s playlist on Spotify. And again, like went through, deleted some stuff, added some stuff, tweaked it a little bit. And we rode that out for like 3 hours. And the whole time, there was just every time a song like came on that everybody knew, you could just hear in the room. You could
Yeah,
just hear,
everybody
if it's like,
kind of sing
B.I., like
along.
if it's like Biggie came on, everybody was vibing to that. Some Eric couple like Erykah Badu tracks came on, people were loving that. Guapalé, Closer by Guapalé is
Oh,
like a
wow.
Detroit, it's like a Detroit, there's like something about that
About
song.
that
First
song.
of all, Detroit radio played that song into the ground. To this day
You
they
know, I
still play it on the
remember
radio.
hearing that song in California where I am, just
Oh, she's
on
from
like,
there, so I
yeah,
know they were
but
wrote.
I would hear her on not like more nonprofit radio, like more non-commercial radio. So I love that she was cracking the commercial radio.
Oh my God, they love that song here. So I play that and the whole room kind of perked up. Like
Oh, yay.
it was really, so it's just, you never know. And anything, honestly, anything that like is like that, anything that's like Detroit radio popular, like anytime I play Sade,
Oh,
people
really?
love
That's
it
another one out
because
there?
people in Detroit love Sade for some reason.
That's so interesting to me because I mean, I've never been to Detroit, which is a bad on my part. I'd love to go there.
You gotta make him come back.
I know. And especially like, in the last like 10 years, it's just rebuilt in such a way. I know there's so much art out there again
There's so
and
much to do.
all the like restaurants, and there's like distillery out there. You guys have
Yeah.
what, Two James, I
A
think, out there?
couple. We have two James. We have Detroit City Distillery as well.
And then on top of that, music. I mean, it's a music city. So I just can't imagine. I would assume that everyone loves all kinds of music out there, just really dedicated to
Definitely.
it. So
Yeah, the
what?
house vibes are strong. The house vibes are strong. And we love that. We love that because that's our culture. But everything, like you can go anywhere at any point. I was at Motor City Wine on last, what was that? Last Wednesday, I think. And they were having tango night. So it was all this like sultry, slow tango
And
music that they were,
everyone's
and
into
they're
it.
having class, tango class. And
So it
then
was
they have
just
like
sexy
open tango
time all
after that.
night.
Yeah, sat there, drank a whole bottle of wine. Drink a whole
And
bottle of wine.
then you did a tango. There you go.
Yeah,
That's what you
no.
need to warm up. After a bottle of wine, you probably start feeling pretty sexy.
I was ready to move on to the next bar after that.
Well, what for you is there like ever like just the Detroit music kind of vibe that you'll do too? Like
Sometimes, yeah, if I can get away
hometown
with
hero
it.
kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I do try to like wiggle in a lot of Big Sean, I try to wiggle in like the older rap, like
Yeah.
some of the older Detroit rap. I'll play a lot of Slum Village, and Dilla. I'll play Dilla any chance I get because he has so many instrumentals that are
I
just
was going
such
to
a good vibe
say,
too.
his instrumentals I rely on for all kinds of things. They're so good.
So
He was
I'll play
so
Dilla as
talented.
much as I can. That's usually where my go-to, because as much as we are a house city, everyone doesn't want to hear that all the time. Like, and my boss low key really wants to have like a no techno kind of a thing, but I'm like, no, we need to have like some
You
soft techno.
have, I
We
was
need
gonna
to have
say,
some
house
soft
is a little,
techno, and we need to have some sexy house, like a
yeah, I
little
was gonna
bit here
say,
and
house
there.
is a
We're not
big
gonna
enough
go too crazy.
category that, you can like get in it without it feeling like you're at a rave or something, So, okay, let's talk about your DJ training, which is gonna come at some point soon, I hope. What would you, so what would you, if you could DJ out there in the world, what kind of nights would you want to DJ? Would you want to DJ in a club? You just want to DJ at parties? What do you
I
want to do?
think I don't know. I don't not I feel like I'm not really like a I would feel like I wouldn't really be a good club DJ because I'm not really here for like the hits, just the hits, like just the top 40 or just the rap charts or like just whatever. Like, I'm not here for that. I don't want to be limited. So like there's this place that just opened recently, maybe about like a year or two ago. Yeah, I think they just had their like 1 year anniversary, called Spotlight. And it's just this big venue. They have they hang and sell art from local artists.
Oh,
They have like a
cool.
coffee shop during the day, a record store, really great
Nice.
outdoor space, and it's just like really big, and you don't feel like you have to be like packed in like sardines. You can kind of have the space to like dance, move, but they have such a varied like type of DJ that they bring in. Like, you'll see a lot of the names that you're familiar with around the city, but then like you'll also see like somebody's just doing like a R&B night. Like, somebody just wants to spend this one artist all night, so they're having like a Beyoncé night, or like,
So that's where
it'll
you
be
need to
things
get
like
in,
that.
because they're already
That's
accepting
somewhere
of
I would
like
definitely
eclectic.
like to.
Yeah,
That's somewhere
nice.
I would definitely like to, because I know I could play like a really wide open set and like kind of play whatever I wanted. But yeah, I'd be down for something like that. I'd be down for more of like a party vibe, less of a club vibe.
Totally. I'm
Like,
same way. I'm if I can be in a corner and play music and make a mood like you're doing with your playlist, that's like ideal. That's my favorite
Yeah, like
thing.
I would just want people to want me at their parties. Like, I want you.
Right?
I'm throwing a party. I want you to do a set. Like,
Yeah, like no pressure,
that's,
just come in there and play some good music. So
yeah,
I had
exactly.
asked you before about making cocktails with and using names of songs or lyrics or titles. Do you remember any of those? Besides the one, you did Golden Baby.
I
That's
did
the
the
only one that comes to mind right
oh
now.
I'm trying to think. There might have been one. Was there one on Last Menu that I did?
Do you still get to
Oh, I
make,
can't think of it.
since you're doing service a lot of times, do you still get to contribute to the menu too? Do you guys
Oh,
all
we're all
collaborative do that?
responsible. Yeah,
Awesome.
we're
That's
all
great.
responsible for menu creation.
Awesome. That's so
That's the
cool.
only way it's getting done.
Yeah, right? Everybody's got to
Because
do one, right?
all of us got to
Yeah,
do it to keep
I
40 cocktails on the menu.
was gonna say, oh, that's still hurting
I
my
know. I just started doing inventory for like our prep team,
brain.
and that it is extensive.
Yeah, I bet
Like,
it takes
it's
a
so
long time.
extensive. It's a lot. It's just you have to constantly, it's a wheel. It's a wheel that has to always be turning. It can never stop. Like, prep can never stop there. There's always something to be made.
Well, I guess there's a
Like,
reason why people know about your bar and why it keeps getting written up and all that kind of stuff. Well, another question I like to ask is like this is kind of the wind up question. So when you're home, when you're relaxing, when you're done, or maybe it's when you're out, like I always like a pairing. Like, what is your drink and what is your song? And it could be chill out or it could be going
So
out, it could be party, you know? What
I
song
don't
do you want to
really
hear?
drink at home. I make it a point not to drink at home
I
because I
know,
drink
you don't
so
have
much when
to.
I'm
Yeah, you're
out.
out in
I
the
know,
world.
right?
So then it'll be when you go somewhere else, what do you order in so
yes.
you can, what do you want to listen to?
So right now I'm low key, I'm kind of on a Black Manhattan kick. I'm trying to like get myself back into whiskey because I feel like whiskey had such a long moment that I got sick of it. And like now I'm trying to be like, oh, I know about whiskey. Like I know stuff about whiskey.
I love a
So
good
I've been
Black
trying like
Manhattan.
different whiskeys and Black Manhattans, but I am also very much just like a make me a weird, freaky daiquiri kind of a person. Like I want you to grab a couple different kinds of rum and just go crazy. Like, so
Now,
that's
what do you want to
usually
listen
what I
to?
go to.
So if you've got your
I want
weird,
to
crazy
listen
daiquiri, what are you
to.
listening to?
I want to listen to, and usually when I'm out, it's either house, honestly, house. I love just like a little house in the background where I can kind of just like
Yeah,
vibe a
it's
little bit if
true.
I want to. Either that or like jazz, honestly. I really love to just be out drinking and there's jazz playing. Like,
Nice.
I used to there used to, I had a friend, I have a friend that plays piano, and he used to have a standing spot at Motor City Wine that I was talking about earlier every Wednesday, and it'd just be him and a couple buddies. He had a couple different drummers he would bring through, and randomly, like, he would have friends in town who would come play with him because he's like played all over the world. And I just remember being there on those nights and being like, this shouldn't be free. This should cost money. Like, I would always tip them. I would always tip them very well. But I'm just like, I didn't pay for this. And I'm like watching people like
Create
they're
amazing
giving me,
moods.
they're showing me all this talent and they're like for free, like for free.
Yeah,
And
it's
I just
probably
like I
jam
used
for
to love
them.
those nights. Yeah. For
Yeah,
them, it's
that's
just
it.
like a big jam session.
They're just
Yeah.
having fun. So it's
Yeah.
like, yeah, they can practice out in front of people almost, you know? It's amazing.
Right.
Musicians are something else. That's why I
They
can't
really
play it
are.
because I respect it too
Yes.
much to try
Exactly.
and ruin it by trying to play myself, you know?
Exactly. I would do that in the privacy of my own home. I'm not trying to play nothing in front of nobody.
Well, that's probably a good place to wrap it up. I want you to tell me where
Yeah.
people can find you and all that. Like, I mean, unless
Oh,
there's any
okay.
other
Yeah,
stuff we
yeah.
should know about you that we can talk about. Do competitions? Are you out there in that world, or you're just like there at
I
standby
am
and doing your stuff?
actually, I think next to Speed Rack, I'm thinking about everybody's telling me like you need to do Speed Rack, and I'm like, you're
You
absolutely
do
right.
need
I
to
do
do
need to
Speed
do
Rack.
Speed
You
Rack.
absolutely need to do
I
Speed Rack.
do.
Because you're going to
So
have those
that's
drinks
probably the next thing
down.
on my horizon.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
you should
probably gonna be Speed
absolutely
Rack.
do that. Ooh,
Yeah.
you're going to be good.
Yeah.
Just considering 40 to 50 drinks and you're the service
Yeah.
person, you're going to do
And
great
one of
with
my
that.
mentors has competed in Speed Rack 2 or 3 times too.
Yeah.
So she'll be a great resource for that
Yeah,
too. So I already have
absolutely.
like all the backing and everything. So I'm like,
Nice. Oh,
that's next on my list.
I look forward to that. I'm going to follow
Yeah.
that. Cool. So where do people find you at Standby Detroit? What are the socials for you or the bar and
Oh
that stuff
yeah.
you want to give out?
So my Instagram is SJESSJAY. Yeah, I'm at Standby every Thursday, Friday, Saturday in there
When
shaking
you're in the
drinks and
weeds.
creating the vibe. And
Sounds perfect.
yeah, just having a
Cool.
good time. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's because Detroit, you know, it's
Yeah,
good art,
exactly.
good food, good music. All this stuff is happening in Detroit. I know. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Don't go away.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Saban. It was so wonderful to talk to you, and I cannot wait to see you on the competition circuit. Again, if you want to find her on the social media, it would be SJ, but that's phonetically spelled out, so look it up as ESSJAY, SJ, and you will find her. And go over to the Music and Booze with Mo Spotify page because she's got a top 10, which is actually a top 11 because music, we're passionate about it. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at themermaidla.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.